January 19th, 2014, Sunday morning service. Today we are going to cover 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14. Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord, not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Here, striving about words means arguing over the word of God. This is such a futile thing that we should all stay away from it at all cost. I have been a Christian for over 40 years. Not 4 years or 4 months. 40 years. I have seen a lot of those. As Paul says, that God commanded us not to argue over doctrine or over theology. Because when you do that, not only the argument profits you nothing, but it will also ruin the hearers. For the word ruin, a Greek word catastrophe, is used. So the level of destruction is catastrophic, the Bible says. So while some are arguing over a doctrine and showing off his knowledge, the faith of hearers are destroyed and they are being sent to hell. So arguing over a doctrine is one of the lowest and the most horrible thing a Christian could do. Some renowned seminaries like Toshin University and many others are doing exactly that, since some of their teachings even make the students question the authenticity of the Bible. So they are not only destroying themselves, but destroying the hearers. They teach that the New Testament is all written based on the book of Mark, so the rest of the epistles can be rejected. Even at Christian bookstores, there are many books that lead you to destructions and are shelved right next to the gospel. So even Paul says that we have to vow before the Lord not to engage that kind of futile argument over doctrine. But those seminary schools and teachers openly rebel against this command, and the graduates of the schools go out to the world and destroy others. They will never be able to open God's seven seals, since God hides messages from such foolish Christians who disobey God. Verse 15, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Instead of arguing over his word, this is what we should be doing as a worker of God. The word is like our bread of life, and it means that we are to cut and divide the bread rightly. Rightly means to divide evenly. So you cannot cut the bread and give yourself a lot and give a tiny bit to others. Also, you have to cut the bread straight, not in a weird angle or sideways. I thought this expression was so accurate, since many Christian teachings I see now are slicing the bread of life in a strange way that makes people question about the authenticity of the book and to weaken the faith. But when we cut the bread rightly, we will be blessed and the hearers will be blessed. I think we at Remnant Church are blessed because we are able to read, understand, and teach things straight from the book. Even from our past seminar, I learned a lot too. Even for preparing for the Great Tribulation, which it says would last for 3.5 years, we wouldn't know what to do if we don't know when it will start. So we are lucky that to be able to figure out the timing. And many express the same opinion too. We are able to understand it as it is written because we are teaching the word as it is. I believe if you speak something twisted, your spiritual walk will be twisted. And if your walk is twisted, you will end up in a twisted place. To read the book of Revelation, I believe all your spiritual understandings and wisdom are required to fully comprehend. It's like a math textbook. It always starts with some simple things, and towards the end of the book, the problems get more complicated and tougher. And many Japanese churches do not talk about the end time because they don't understand the revelation. They have not eaten the bread which is rightly divided from the very start. So the most difficult part, which is the revelation, they cannot comprehend it. So we are blessed that we are able to comprehend it and continue to learn from it. Like we're almost becoming like an expert on revelation. Well, having done 32 seminars of this topic. Also, the verse 15 says, a worker who does not need to be ashamed. About, we do not need to be ashamed. Let's look up Mark chapter 8, verse 38. For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. In the Greek version, the same word, ashamed, is also used. Some people might shame the name of the Lord, like when someone says Jesus is risen, he might say that the resurrection is a myth and it's not scientifically proven. God is ashamed of such an individual. So one may be working to serve the Lord, but really serving to please the world and the people around you. And when such a person faces the Lord face to face, the Lord will be ashamed of him. So there's a payback, both in a good and bad way. Payback for serving the Lord and payback for serving the world. So I say this verse again. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Let's move on to the next verses. But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness, and their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have stayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. It says profane talk would spread like cancer. As you know, cancer spread like fire, consuming both flesh and bone. The same thing will happen to the Church of God if you allow it, and such talk will destroy the faith of others. It is already happening for some people. For some people spreading the wrong doctrines. And we should read God's word with reverence because everything said in the Bible is all happening now with no exception. Verse 19. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal, the Lord knows those who are his. And let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So God knows who truly belongs to him. So the seed is sown, but after the harvest, wheat will be separated from tare. Many things also happen to the seeds, like birds eating them and being choked by the thorns. So not all the Christians will become wheat. Some grow up to become tare by pursuing the wrong teaching. And it also says, let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So there will be those who are dragged into wrong teachings, but they choose to remain there. Because if you're really his, you will leave such place or people right away. Verse 20. But in the great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, and some for honor and some for dishonor. This is very deep. As you know, there are some nice vessels that are used only by the master of the house, and some are just used as an ashtray or even as a trash bin. I heard from someone who runs a retail store that they have different teacups for VIP clients, and also for regular customers. I never had tea there, so I don't even know what kind of teacups they use. But the point is, Here, a great house indicates this Christian community. And among us, there are many vessels. Some vessels are chosen by God and purified and used by God. But some vessels are used for something for dishonor, like teaching at a seminary saying that the resurrection never occurred. They don't know that they are doing dishonorable thing, but they are dishonoring the Lord, and somehow God is allowing it. Like Judas was one of the vessels, and it was used by Satan, but it was also used by God for his purpose. But if you're being used, we'd rather be used for something honorable, not by Satan. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. As you know, a vessel has a value only when it is used. People do not use a dirty vessel. We only use one that is clean. When you go to a restaurant, you don't like to have an unclean dish used for your food. You don't want to see a cup with someone's lipstick left on. You want a clean cup and a dish. The same thing with God. He wants a clean vessel. So if you don't think God is using you, it's not like God loves others more than he loves you, or he's being unfair. I used to think so. I was thinking, why God is not using me? But I realized that I have to be clean first so that he could use me. Sometimes we think we are already clean, but not in the eyes of others or even in the eyes of God. Have you ever done dishes and then you think that they're already clean, but other people tell you that you didn't wash well and they're still dirty? It happens to me all the time. I think they're all clean, but my wife does not think so. Same thing with God. Something is just not clean enough that it can only be used as a trash bin. But when you become clean, God will honor you for his purpose. I have experienced both. And I noticed that as I became cleaner, I got busier for God's work. The church got busier too, as we, the vessels, become cleaner and closer to his purpose. We are publishing a book and we are also becoming busier for doing global reach. Someone approached me the other day to obtain my permission to use the contents for people of his nation. So remember that God will use you more and more as you purify yourself. Flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of pure heart. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And the servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in a position. If God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth. So we are to avoid foolish and ignorant disputes over doctrines, trying to create strife. And the servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all. We do teach about the great tribulation, but we are not to be argumentative, nor to be show-off, because that is not what God wants. And even when we are teaching something that other people do not understand, or that other people do not agree with, we always have to do it gently with a kind heart, so that it might, maybe, perhaps reach their hearts too. This is something that I have to work on. So when we are saying something other people do not understand, be it newsletters or seminars, I should not be judgmental about their ignorance, but I should preach with kindness so that maybe their eyes and hearts to be opened to the message of God.